It's time for Football Friday with Paul Feinbaum, presented by Bryant Bank. Your hometown bank with big bank benefits, located in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Now, here's Dan Brennan and Dalton Erwig.
Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 and Football Fridays with Paul Feinbaum, brought to you by Bryant Bank. And it's time to bring on Paul. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, fellas.
Wow, what a first couple of weeks of the season, but now great matchups all across the board as we head into this weekend. And thanks so much for coming on with us again this Friday morning, Paul.
Yeah, last week was one of those weekends that we could not find anything to say last Friday because all the games seemed pretty terrible. And then Billy Napier did us all a big favor. He took Kalen DeBoer out of the conversation. And put himself, I mean, to say Billy Napier is on the hot seat would really be an insult to the hot seat.
Yeah. And that would, we just, you know, remember that team played Alabama really tough a year ago, talking about South Florida. I mean, they got something going on there, but at home, that's supposed to be one of the toughest places in the league to play. And man, oh man, I didn't watch that game, from whistle to whistle, but what I saw, Florida was just out of sorts.
It really was embarrassing. And as has been said for days, it's one thing to lose. It's another thing to give the game away because one of your players spits in the other guy's eye, which preserves a series and takes you down the field, which helps set up a chip shot field goal. I mean, it's just it's inexplicable. And then Billy Napier, and you know, I would have thrown the guy off the field on the spot. He says, you know, we're trying to, you know, correct these mistakes. How do you correct that mistake?
Yeah, and it's also kind of wild considering he did it right after the same thing happened in the NFL. Jalen Carter, just a couple nights. Unbelievable. I wonder with Golish, and when we mentioned him, you know, after that big Boise State win, and he had the team looking good at times last year, but to beat Florida in Gainesville, and if Napier's on the hot seat, do you know, has there been much talk of where Golish, if he chooses to leave South Florida, where he might go next? Has anyone started that discussion?
I think any job right now would be one to consider. Probably not the Florida job, but he's a Heupel disciple, which rhymes, in case you were wondering. you want to do some rap music, I'd see him, you know, maybe, there'll be some SEC jobs open. I would think he'd be considered. You have the potential for Kentucky, obviously Florida. You could see other positions opening, but I don't have any doubt he won't be at USF next year.
And we have a lot of games this weekend to talk about, but I guess if we look at one more from this past weekend, Oklahoma really taking care of business there in Norman and taking the five-star Underwood more or less out of the game. Mateer sure looks good for that offense.
Yeah, Mateer now has moved into the Heisman race instead of Arch Manning.
Arch left a spot open.
Yeah, I'm still catching flack over my Arch Manning is the greatest player since Superman take. Okay, I'm having fun with him myself. But Mateer looks like he's very capable. Now, they're an interesting situation. They have Auburn next week, and then their schedule just keeps getting more difficult. But you know, they won the game they had to win. Everybody has that moment, like Hugh Freeze had Baylor 2 weeks ago. That was Brent Venables' moment.
Yeah, but he did well. Defense looked good. Mateer looked really, really good as advertised. Everybody talking about Mateer, and Dalton will tell you this, I was like, I'm the one, I'm not going to buy into it till I see this guy play. And then Monday I told Dalton I was wrong. They were right. He played great with a big spotlight on him.
He did. And by the way, that should not have surprised anybody. He came in highly regarded. He not only brought his QB coach, he brought his offensive coordinator. Yeah, and that matters in football when you can have people you're familiar with as opposed to throwing a quarterback to a new coordinator, which too often happens.
Let's talk this weekend. Where are you guys headed this week, by the way? Where are you?
Baton Rouge.
Okay.
Baton Rouge.
That makes sense. And that's where we were wanting to start, too, is Florida, do they get off the mat? And if they do, it's going to be tough because the third-ranked team in the nation in Baton Rouge. We get Florida at LSU at night, nonetheless. This is setting up for potentially a good one or maybe a Tigers blowout. Who knows?
I tend to think LSU will handle them. I know you can bounce back, but it just doesn't seem overly likely that happens. The only thing that, and I heard this from Brian Kelly the other day, and I heard it from some other people, there's a little bit of a concern. There's a little bit of a concern about injuries, but listen, everybody has injuries, okay? If your team has the injuries, you get worried about it. That's the problem, I think, if you're a little queasy on LSU.
Mm-hmm.
But that setting, to me, is, even though it's their very same setting, Alabama dusted the floors with them last November, I really like LSU to handle them.
Well, you have the advantage of having Brian Kelly as your video pen pal every week.
Yeah.
Checks, so you can see if he's in a good mood or not.
He's in a good mood. I had to deal with him last year after a couple of losses, especially that Alabama loss.
I remember.
Now he loves to, you know, kind of poppycock a little bit. Yeah, I come here win or lose.
Yeah, that's funny.
At least between Dan and I and so many others, the game of the week we'll be paying attention to is the Georgia Bulldogs and Kirby Smart, who has had really no issues with Josh Heupel yet, playing in Knoxville against a Tennessee team that I think has higher hopes than before the Syracuse game.
I like Tennessee. To me, the Syracuse game was a test. It wasn't much of a test. but they have – Georgia, to me, is not really necessarily tested. They played very pedestrian. I think Kirby Smart has been very vanilla, and you have to be. When you're used to starting with Clemson or Oregon or Notre Dame or somebody like that, and you have these two tomato cans, you keep it simple, and you get ready. But I still don't like Gunnar Stockton as a quarterback. I don't like Mike Bobo. Should I keep going, or do you? No.
Well, on the other side, how do you feel, and I've seen so many say this, and I agree with it, Joey Aguilar, a better fit? Maybe it's just because he has the experience. He's played 3 years, you know, over at App State. He looks better with this offense than either Joe Milton or Nico did. I think this is the best the offense has been running since Hendon Hooker.
Yep.
Yeah, you may not have been up about 1 o'clock in the morning last Sunday morning to see Nico go 0-2 on the season at Vegas against Dan Mullen. I wasn't either. I didn't even know about it till yesterday. Everybody got the bad move, the bad trade. That turned out to be the worst one of the year. But Aguilar is playing great. I talked to him a couple of days ago. He's a confident kid. He looks good. And everybody knows I went to Tennessee. It's still hard for me. Maybe I got that Tennessee myopia, but it's just still hard for me to pull the trigger against Georgia. You just kind of, you know, it feels like a 2018 game or something.
All is well at the Capstone again after that.
Roll Tide.
the win against La Monroe. So are you all the way back with the Tide?
Roll Tide, Kalen DeBoer for governor. He's going to beat Tuberville. I do think, it was a cliche, that's what the doctor ordered. I mean, that's as good as you can look. And I think for Kalen DeBoer, it was a good idea. He's going to win this game. Wisconsin's quarterback is out. This is not going to be overly close. And then they take a break and the season-defining game, which is going to be at Georgia. So I don't like to get hung up on these off-brand games, but you cannot find fault with 73-0.
No, you can't. And I'm wondering what it would take for people to have an issue, even if Alabama wins this weekend. I mean, how close would it have to be for people to say, yeah, still not right, this Tide team just doesn't look right. I guess just however they execute, if they execute poorly but still win, I think there's going to be tons of questions about whether DeBoer is still the right guy.
Well, we all know he's the right guy. I mean, he proved that last week against Monroe. I don't know. But I mean, it is fairly baffling when you have to have team meetings before La Monroe. Mm. But maybe something snapped. You can't undo the history books. There's no excuse. What it means to me, though, in pragmatic terms, is Alabama has to make that up somewhere. Mm. That means they have to beat one of the teams supposed to, those are right now. Georgia was always going to be the toughest game on the schedule, mm-hmm. because they still have to deal with LSU. They still have to deal with Tennessee and Oklahoma and Auburn, and South Carolina. It's hard to walk down that plank without getting dinged up.
Yeah, that's a good point. 11 SEC teams in the top 25. Paul, when I started watching the SEC, there were not 11 teams in the SEC. I think there were only 10 back in the day in the 80s.
Yeah, you know, I was around at the time when Swanee was in the SEC back in the 30s, and it's kind of hard to believe. I want to say this in conclusion. The AP Top 25 might be one of the silliest exercises every week I ever see. I mean, there's just teams in there that have no business being ranked. South Carolina has played terribly this year. Aren't they in the top 25?
Yeah,
what are they doing there?
Yeah. I think Vandy is more, you know, Vandy's got the better resume than South Carolina, and they play this week.
Oh, boy, listen, I'm locked into that game.
Me too. I like that one.
But the winner of that game will be a team we pay a lot of attention to.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, sure. Well, also, and I guess we can wrap on this, we have our eyes closely in Auburn this weekend, and maybe not as many people around the country think this is a big game, but when a team from Mobile, South Alabama, gets to play an SEC team and a team that's playing well, I know a lot of Jags fans think they're catching Auburn in a flat spot here with Oklahoma next week. This, I'm not saying it will be, but this could be eventful on Saturday at Jordan-Hare.
Yeah, it is a great spot. And listen, I remember something like 35 years ago, I was in Mobile for an event, and somebody asked me in the media about South playing football, and I said, absolutely. UAB has been trying to get it, and we know what that program has accomplished. So I'm not going out on a limb, because I'm already off the limb and have a broken leg. But this is a tough spot for Auburn, because that Jackson Arnold would be thinking about returning to Norman, not mm-hmm. thinking about dealing with the Jags. So I think it will be relatively close.
35 years ago in Mobile, was it me? Was I talking to you, Paul?
Yeah, you were. You were kind of in the salad days of your career as a young pup. Man, I remember you well. I should not have had the police arrest you because you violated the rope line, but that's okay.
Hey, you got to do what you got to do in the moment. Paul, thanks again for your time. We enjoy these conversations very, very much.
My pleasure, guys. See you next week.
All right. Once again, great stuff there. Paul Feinbaum. Paul Feinbaum Show every weekday from 2 to 6 right here on FM Talk 106.5. And Football Friday is brought to you by Bryant Bank. I mean, people keep telling them. I mean, woe is me, but we're an Auburn station.
Yes.
Generally, pull for Auburn, right?
Yes.
Got Feinbaum on every weekday. Bunch of Auburn fans listen to that. There's a lot of South Alabama fans this weekend down here, including me, going, what if?
What if?
What if?
They certainly played Tulane tough. Let's see. What if?
Now, I could look like an idiot on Monday, but maybe. We'll see. What if? What if I look like an idiot?
We look like idiots every Monday.
Yeah,
you can bank on it.
Feinbaum makes it sound a lot better on Fridays. Paul Feinbaum, thanks again, and more Mobile Mornings on the way.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Thanks again to Paul Feinbaum. Football Fridays with a very busy man, Paul Feinbaum. And all brought to you by Bryant Bank.
Yeah, we really appreciate Bryant Bank and bringing that to you and with us. And Feinbaum, always great to have on a Friday morning with some big-time SEC football on the way. Let me know, because I love this kind of thing. Are you going to Auburn this weekend? You going up there to see the Jags play the Auburn Tigers? And if you are, who are you rooting for? And any conflicted Auburn fans out there? I know, silly question, because the Jags played the team that I root for not that long ago, I guess a couple years, the Tennessee Vols. I actually gave them a good game, if I remember.
Yeah, but, that was maybe 9 years ago, and they played them tough.
But I guess, at least in my case, the SEC loyalties
were a little higher than the alumni loyalty. So I can understand if you're an Auburn fan, you go, yeah, it's great. Maybe South will look good, but we'd rather the Tigers just go ahead and take care of business. But as a South fan, I'm kind of pulling for it to go the other way. The big news this morning, and it was breaking just after 7 o'clock on Fox and Friends, and broken by the same man who, heartbrokenly announced that Charlie Kirk had died on Wednesday. How often, or if ever, has it been the president breaking that kind of news?
Isn't that crazy?
That's how
he was also the one. Yeah, he broke the news about the death.
Official, yeah, death.
And now breaking the news about the
suspect in custody.
Amazing.
Yeah, and I'd love, and it sure sounds like this is about a sure thing, that this was the killer, but you had Kash Patel, I mean, day of, saying we have a potential suspect in custody. I have not been happy with how this has gone here these last couple of days. But if this is the suspect, then all is well that ends well. So New York Post actually has a name here. They're the first. They say they have the exclusive. The president announced today that a suspect for Charlie Kirk's assassination was turned in by his father. Law enforcement sources told the New York Post that it is 22-year-old Utah local Tyler Robinson. Now, the internet had done its own investigation, many investigations last night, and had come upon one suspect that the internet believed it was, this Valdez, I think.
Sky Valdez.
Right now, it appears that was not the case. And they also had some other names, I guess. And the internet's going to investigate anyway, but I think part of the reason things went so off the rail were because of the conflicting messages coming from the feds and from Kash Patel. And you had this source yesterday that was talking about the pro-trans, pro-LGBTQ writings left with the weapon. And I think they said it was written on the casings or something like that. And then the FBI disputing that last night. So there's been a lot of things that have been said that may or may not be true. But anyway, Trump announcing today that they have the suspect in custody. Quote, I think with a high degree of certainty we have him. Somebody who was very close to him turned him in, revealed that it was the suspect's dad, who relayed it through a, quote, minister who was involved with law enforcement.
Law enforcement, right.
And Trump said, I hope he's going to be found guilty, and I hope he gets the death penalty. What he did, Charlie Kirk was the finest person, and he didn't deserve this. We will play some of that Trump audio coming up here on the way. Saw another reporter diving in a little bit more, although said the suspect in the murder confessed to his father that he was the shooter. His father told authorities and secured his son until they could arrive to pick him up. If this does end up being the shooter that they have in custody here, and right now, I mean, things are pointing that way, that's almost surprising to me. I didn't think they would get this person alive for one reason or another. And I don't know how often that would be the case, that you'd get someone in this high profile of a murder.
If you didn't get him in the moment,
right?
You would think there's a chance that
something happens.
They would take their own life.
Either self-inflicted or out there in the on the chase, end up losing their life.
Yeah.
So we'll see. And I'm sure right now, plenty of online sleuths digging into the background of this alleged suspect in custody, 22-year-old Tyler Robinson. Play some of that Trump audio when we get back and talk more about this.
Good stuff. He was on Fox and Friends for about an hour and a half today. Dan and Dalton.
A34 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing just fine, and I know a fine weekend on the way at McConnell Automotive. What you guys got going on over there on Dolphin Street?
Well, we're going to have a little football on TV. We're going to might have break the grills out around here, and we're going to have a fun Saturday and hope to sell a few cars. We got a great selection of them. Y'all can check everything out online before you get here, McConnellAutomotive.com. And like I said, we're going to be here all day. We're going to have all 8 TVs on, whatever game y'all want to watch. If you don't want to miss a game, you need to buy a car, come on by and see us.
Yeah, that's what folks definitely need to do if they're in the market for a new vehicle or if they're trying to sell their vehicle. I want to remind people that, of course, you can go to McConnell and trade in, but if they just want to sell, you'll take them up on that offer.
That's right. All you got to do is call 251-476-4141. If you want to get an idea of what it's worth, ask for Eddie Hicks, Mike Hatcher, Gene Stuckey. I'm going to throw them all out there.
Mm-hmm.
And just give them the VIN number, a little description of the car, and they'll try to give you a price right over the telephone.
Any talk this week at McConnell about the big Auburn-South Alabama game this weekend? You guys been batting that one around?
Oh, yeah. We're not going to have the trucks over South this week.
Right.
But next time home game, y'all can see those. But, yeah, that's going to be a fun game. And then next weekend, I think Auburn plays Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And I might be there. Who knows?
Oh, man. Well, we appreciate your time this morning, Louie, and hope to see you out there at McConnell.
All right. Y'all have fun. Have a great weekend. Be careful.
All right. You too. There's the man, Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Louie, like our own Josh Pate, touring America for the biggest in college football games, talking about being in Norman, Oklahoma next weekend for Auburn at Oklahoma.
Wow.
What a road trip that would be.
Yeah. Have you, in all of your SEC travels, have you ever made it to Boomer Sooner Land?
No, sir. Mm. Never. And I haven't made it to that many venues, really. Auburn, for sure. Speaking as a Georgia fan, I've been to Tuscaloosa many, many years ago.
You've been in the Georgia Dome for some pretty big
games.
And Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Right, down to Jacksonville for the cocktail party. And been to South Carolina when my friend Speedy, who talked like this. Georgia comes at it. This must have been like 1981, 82, something like that. I mean, ages ago. Georgia comes out getting ready for the second half. I think they might have been down by 3. You know, it's like a close game. And the Georgia players are standing there as they're not right coming out of the exit yet, but right in the end zone.
Yeah, just kind of huddled there.
Getting ready to rush on out. And he starts banging some shoulder pads, Speedy, from the stands, leaning over we're right near that giant exit where the players come out and he starts, "Come on, dogs!" And this kid looked at him like, "Are you out of your mind, sir?"
Yeah, somebody tried that at the Baltimore game the other night.
Yeah, that wasn't good. That didn't work.
Shoved
well.
By an MVP quarterback
yes.
for it. 251-343-0106. That's the phone number. And the big news this morning, after I was fairly pessimistic last night with the press conference that was had because maybe it was bait, could have been bait, but it didn't seem like they were working off of much.
I don't think that was bait. I think you had reason to be concerned, and when you, because of all the conflicting information that was coming out and everything, it was, I mean, when you got here this morning, you were ticked off about that in particular.
Yeah,
I could tell that you were like frustrated about it. I was looking at the story from different angles, and I wasn't quite as personally frustrated as you are. But when you put out those facts that we were getting and those refacts, or let's take this one back, and then the idea that you had this video and even those still shots, it seemed to point out pretty clearly, if we could figure out who this guy was, and the fact that he hadn't been caught yet, you know, I think we were all concerned. And it could have been just the fact that his dad was the one that maybe saved the day here.
That's kind of how it's being passed along right now. So the president was on Fox and Friends and was on for an extended amount of time this morning. I think he hopped on right at 7 o'clock, and we saw him still talking by about 7:40, I think. And, he said, "We have him," with a high degree of certainty, and said that he was handed in. Now, other reporters are saying that the shooter confessed to his father, and that's what made it official before he was hauled in. 22-year-old Utah local Tyler Robinson, that's the suspect's name, as reported by the New York Post, who said they were told by law enforcement sources. Trump, earlier on Fox and Friends, speaking about this, I'll just play you this clip where he is asked a question by one of the hosts there. Here you go.
Suspicion was that he was radical left. And now you have more information. What can you share with us about his ideology?
Yeah, Lawrence, let me just... And by the way, Lawrence is doing a good job. What's going on?
Fantastic job, yeah.
I'll tell you what, I'm very proud of you.
Thank you, sir.
I said you were going to do well. I think that...
By the way, Trump in a notably better mood than he was yesterday. A very solemn day with 9/11, but so many videos going around of him just looking absolutely heartbroken after the death of a close friend.
You know, when you know people personally,
that go through one heartache after another, and you just shake your head thinking, how are they getting through it?
Mm-hmm.
This is the president of the United States with all the weight in the world literally on him, and he's had to deal with a bunch.
Yeah, here he is.
I don't want to go too far. I'd like to tell you some stories at how it happened, but essentially somebody that was very close to him turned him in. And that happens when you had some of those good shots. Somebody is going to say, whether it's a parent or whatever, I'd rather not say right now. They're going to announce it today, sometime later, probably talk about that. But somebody close to him turned to him, you know, they said, whoa, it's interesting. We had very good pictures, but not great, not perfect. And when you look at it, what happened is somebody, and this happens a lot. It happened with the crazy Boston bomber. It happened with others. Somebody that's close recognizes even a little tilt of the head, which nobody else would do. And somebody that was very close to him said, that's him. And essentially went to the father, went to a U.S. Marshal, who was fantastic, by the way. And the person was involved with law enforcement, but was a person of faith, a minister, and brought him to a U.S. Marshal, who was fantastic. And the father convinced the son, this is it. And again, I'm always subject to be corrected, but you know, I'm just giving you, based on what I'm hearing, they'll give you a much more active. I just heard about it 5 minutes before I walked in. As I'm walking in, they said, looking real good. They have the person that they wanted. So you have breaking news, don't you, huh?
Thank you.
You always have breaking news, Ainsley.
Right.
Sean's going to be very disappointed that we're not doing it on his show.
Yeah. He'll be very thankful and appreciative of the police officers that got this guy.
They did a great job. Everybody. And everybody worked together. Pam Bondi is incredible, by the way. People don't know what a star she is. She's incredible. And it all worked out.
Could I ask you just some clarification? So a pastor was able to turn him in, or they got the family of the shooter to turn them in?
Well, it was a minister, and the minister went to a friend, a minister who was involved with law enforcement, by the way. And his good friend is a top U.S. Marshal. And they took it from there. And then it was a father got involved, namely his father, and said, we've got to go in. And they so I understand it. And again, subject to change. But, you know, the facts are the facts. We have the person that we think is the person we're looking for. But they drove into the police headquarters, and he's there now.
So there you have it. That was from just an hour ago with Trump on Fox and Friends, saying they think they have their guy. We're waiting for an FBI update, and that should be on the way. Hopefully, if we get to it, if they come to the podium before our show ends, we'll go to that live. Michael says on the text line at 251-343-0106, if you'd like to join us. He says, if you watched the video released from the guy getting off the roof, there was no gun with him. How did it end up in the woods? And that was a lot of folks asking about that last night once that video was released in that later FBI press conference, because they said that the weapon was wrapped in a hoodie or something similar to that. And then if you watch the video where he runs over to the side of this building that he was on when he assassinated Kirk, he then kind of leans over the edge and hops on down, and at times it looks like it could be a long rifle that's wrapped up in something, but then when he actually hangs over the edge, it looks more like just a loose hanging piece of clothing. And then he lands on the ground. But again, that video footage from quite a distance off, and just blurry enough that makes you have some questions about what you're really looking at.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of people bringing that up last night, Michael. And, you know, so many online sleuths trying to figure this out yesterday, especially when you had Kash Patel come out day of and say, we think we have a suspect in custody. They did have someone in custody that ended up not being the guy.
Did you see the protest for somebody that Fox went live from an important interview? They went live to the scene, and this guy was protesting. he was making a big point. They've got the wrong guy. Like, he knew who they had.
Well, so the first...
And he was, like, saying, that guy doesn't have a dime. He doesn't have a, you know, he's not the brightest guy. He didn't do this.
So there's some...
Remember, did you see that?
Well, I don't know that specifically, but the first two people they arrested... So the first one that was in the public eye was right there near the front of the stage, I guess, an older gentleman.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And there's footage of him on the ground being arrested. Yeah. He was screaming and shouting, I think. And from the reports I've seen, he's one of these... quote unquote locals. Well, he is a local in that area, but we have some around here where you go out to political events, you're going to see them.
Yep.
And they're going to be protesting
right.
something.
He's
been arrested over the years for, I don't know, probably things like trespassing, things you would generally get in trouble for showing up to places being a spur in the boot.
Yeah,
right?
A noted disgruntled guy.
Right.
Who publicly shows, and no one necessarily takes him real seriously locally. Mm-hmm. So when they arrested him, that's why this guy's, I don't know if he's a pal of his or not.
I think people were going, we don't like that guy,
but
this
it's not
his
him.
Thing.
Right.
But a lot of people were saying, hey, was he a distraction? Was he a diversion so that the shooter could get away? There was also a really weird thing going on after Kirk went down, and they were escorting him off the scene on the board to get him to the hospital as quickly as possible. So you had all of the attendees who were still there that didn't run off were laying down after shots fired. And there was one guy with some really long hair and a beard, and he was, like, smiling and jumping up and down and looked like he was looking back at where the shot came from, and it appeared to be celebrating. So everyone online was going, hey, look into this guy. What's this about?
What does he know?
Yeah, and he hopped online last night and said, hey, all of this that you guys are saying about me is untrue. I was not involved in this. He said he was trying to provide a distraction for the team that was trying to extract Kirk from the scene, which I don't know. He looked awfully happy. But I don't think any of those people are who they're saying is in custody right now, this 22-year-old Tyler Robinson is the name they've got.
One thing I noticed too, if you watch the video of him, right afterwards you see people running on the screen and so it's the back of the building where he's now jumping off of. But there is some traffic there. The parking lot is filled, so there's soon going to be foot traffic there because I assume that's the people that were at the rally.
Right.
So there's soon going to be foot traffic there, but you could see just two or three people running in the and as he's jumping off the roof. You see a couple of cars passing by. I guess what I'm saying there was if he was gone for a long time, somebody saw something in that moment. I mean, somebody didn't. They caught him. Maybe they put it together. But if I'm just at a rally and there's a shooting, and suddenly as I'm going to my car or running in a direction away from it, and I notice a guy jumping off a roof, I mean
that piques your interest a little bit,
doesn't it?
Well, they also said last night the number 7,000 tips. Is that what the number was?
Yeah.
I think they said they had received at least 7,000 tips.
Yes.
And the reward had gone to $100,000.
Yep.
Maybe some of the tips they received were from people who potentially saw him fleeing the scene.
I just saw people around there as he was jumping off, and I thought somebody had to notice that.
Well, I came in this morning, and I was pretty vocal about it, pretty frustrated with, to this point, how the investigation had seemingly gone. And I guess the issue I had was that when Kash Patel, the FBI director, started tweeting updates about this on day one, the things that he was putting out there ended up being false hope, it seemed. You know, we have a likely suspect in custody, or I need to find the exact words that he used, and they ended up letting that person go. You had an ATF officer leak information to the press. And I'm trying to remember who exactly they leaked it to, but basically saying that along with the firearm in the woods that they found, that there were pro-trans messages written on, I believe, on the bullets. And they walked that back some last night. And then with that late FBI presser yesterday, it almost seemed to me like all they had to work off of was the footage they were putting out there, a palm print, and a print from his shoe. And that left me last night going, oh, they might not ever find
this
anything.
Guy. Yeah.
So the fact that Trump hops on this morning and says they have a guy, that's good news. Hopefully this is the actual shooter. And like I said, a bit of a miracle that if this is the shooter, that he's in custody and alive. Because, you know, there were a lot of people out there that didn't want to see him alive and in custody. They would have rather seen him not alive. But so often in cases like this, you see the shooter turn the gun on themselves and they're getting close to being caught. But them there, having this person, means they'll be able to extract more information out of them. So that's some good news.
And there may be information to be had. Who knows? As far as who influenced him or beyond influence, right?
Yeah. Did anyone put him up to it? And by the way, no one's talking about this. Trump yesterday said he didn't want to see any violence. He said that. And I don't see much of the national media putting that out front and center. He said Kirk was an advocate of nonviolence, and that's the way I'd like to see people respond.
8:51, Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings. Good morning to you.
Yeah, also some extra traffic. Thank you on the text line, Brad. Head-on collision, two trucks at the intersection of Spring Hill and 65 on the west side. Said you can pass if you're going westbound. Head-on collision, two trucks at Spring Hill, basically there at 65, so be aware of that this morning. This segment brought to you by Underdog, and football's back. Underdog, the best place to select entries, win money all season long. You can play in Alabama, just as I've been doing for a long time now, and I love it because it's easy and it's fun. What's not to love? Playing on Underdog is easy. Just choose whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like touchdowns, receiving yards, interceptions, and more. Get your entries right, and you could win up to 5,000 times your cash. You can play with as little as $1. And there are some big college games this weekend that you can certainly sink your teeth into on Underdog, just like I am this weekend. Looking forward to it. Download the app today. Sign up with promo code Dalton, D-A-L-T-O-N. Score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. That's promo code Dalton. Millions of fans have already won billions making plays on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog, make plays, win money. Must be 19-plus and present in Alabama. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms. _DFS_.html for details. And if you're concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
Got a quick text I'm going to read. This is a personal text from somebody not a fan of Charlie Kirk. Basically, he says he's virtually the opposite of almost all of my core beliefs. But the texter goes on to say, that was my view of him. But everyone in our country should fight to the end for people like Charlie Kirk and all we disagree with to defend his and her freedom to express their beliefs. I admired his openness for civil debate and how he so engaged a younger generation in politics. He connected with people on a level very few have shown the ability to do. He was able to do this through one of the best things our founding fathers ever created, free speech. So many in our country only love the First Amendment when the free speech agrees with their viewpoint. His death is a terrible tragedy for obviously his family and our nation.
Wow, that is really well said. Pete messaging saying, I mean, who doesn't fly drones over buildings before an event like that? Don't you think if South or Spring Hill or University of Mobile had a large event, you would at least check the roofs and keep an eye out as law enforcement? That's another thing that should come from this. And I know Ben Shapiro and some other conservatives say they're going to keep going to colleges and they'll do it in honor of Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
But that has to be something. And I mean, just get a, I don't know if it'll solve all the problems, and people make it sound easier than it is, keeping something like this from happening all the time. But put a drone out there, just check the roofs, see what you can do, because I'm surprised something like this hadn't happened before, honestly. What a terrible, terrible situation. Yeah. Coming up, the Jeff Poor Show, he'll have Paul DeMarco on in hour number one. Former ALGOP Chair Terry Latham in hour two, and State Senator Chris Elliott in hour number three.